Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from Torino, from the Torino Film Lab, and I'm here with Eva Svensson-Vard. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the head of studies of the Script Lab, and you were before that a tutor for the Script Lab, and also for other Script Labs. What is the role of the head of studies in a Script Lab like the Torino Film Lab?
The head of studies is funny. I reread my contract yesterday just to be like, what in fact are my... Well, what has happened is that Torino Film Lab has reorganized completely for this year. So the one position that was held by Mathieu Darras as artistic director has been split into five different positions, maybe even six, but five for sure that I know. So some of the traditional sort of head of studies duties have been divided. So I will work, and this has just happened, so we haven't had the first year yet, so we'll see how it goes. But the idea is that I work very closely with a Bosnian producer based in Sarajevo called Amra Bacik Kamo, who will be the curator for Script Lab, where I am the head of studies. So together, we will put together a group of projects, 20 projects per year. And my main responsibility will be the pedagogical formation of the lab. How will we best take these projects and help these filmmakers take their ideas to hopefully treatment or first draft stage from a fairly new idea, a young idea? They might have treatment, synopsis, they could even have a first draft, but we go really back to the beginning, the core of the idea, and develop it over the year together with five script tutors, and also launch the idea into the industry and try to help them connect with other industry professionals that will help them nurture the project further.
So even if you are looking, even if you're looking after a project that has a script, it's not compulsory that specific script is going to be the actual one.
No, that's right. So we will, and the unique thing with the way that we work at in the Script Lab is that it's group work. So all people who apply have to understand that part of the job, and which I think makes the work much stronger, is that you work in a group. So the part of the tutor's role is to really mediate the group process, the creative group process. So through thinking about and working on the other projects in your group, you learn things about your own creative process, about your own project. By seeing people face certain challenges, you maybe get some insight into the challenges you face, both as a creative professional, but also and as a professional in the business. Even if you could be talking to a Brazilian filmmaker and you're based in Brussels, some of the challenges will be the same. Some of the challenges will be different. But
borders are not anymore that specific and that important.
No, that's right, and. Also, you know, the very beginnings of this, of finding a project and creating a story is often very fragile, dynamic, emotional maybe. And so you have, it's both a creative challenge and a support group at the same time. And so my job will be to set up a process by which they come to the best sort of results within the time frame given.
Which is a year,
yeah. So the first workshop is in March, end of March, and then we end in the meeting event here in Torino in the middle end of November. Yeah.
If I may ask, which are the criteria you pick to select the projects? Because I think you receive much more project than what you can get.
Yeah, I think that, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of applications for the 20 spaces available. Now, so that's really more of a question for Amra. Mm-hmm. I guess part of it has to do with where you are in your development process. You know, how far are you? We focus mainly on first or second features, so emerging, you know, you're coming from doing a number of shorts and you're on your first feature, or you've done a smaller first feature, you are making a more advanced second feature. So those are the basic criteria. Those are the main criteria.
Listen, Eva, you are, you come from a world of production of script and adaptation of scripts. Mm-hmm. You are one of the experts of adaptation. Mm-hmm. And which is something that always fascinated me, because each one of us read a book that thought that this is a movie, and then when it's a movie, it's not as good as the book, it's completely different. So which are the main rules to adapt a book to a film, to cinema, if there are, if you can tell us?
The only rule is get the rights.
In order to be sure that nobody can tell you anything.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the only rule. And then it's whatever you decide together with your producer, you know, or if you're a producer, whatever you decide together with your writer or your writer-director. You know, you can have adaptations that are inspired by, or you can have adaptations that want to stay very close to the book. Mm-hmm. Both are as valid and as interesting, so it's really up to you. The main thing in this, or one of the first sort of classes or master classes or lectures that we had when we did Adapt Lab, which mm-hmm. ran since 2011, and I did together with Isabelle Fauvel, who runs Initiative Film in France, mm-hmm. and who has worked a lot with adaptation, and Razvan Radulescu, who is one of the tutors here and also a screenwriter. One of the first lessons that we had, or master classes that we had to do with rights issues. You know, do you own the material that you're now going to spend 5 years working up? Because otherwise you're setting yourself up for huge amounts of heartache.
Honestly, I didn't think that this could have been an issue. I thought that the rights owning was like the first obvious step for everybody.
It's not obvious. Because, you know, inspiration comes, right? You read something, you're like, oh, this would be fantastic. And where is the border of between inspired by, based on, and so on and so forth.
Copied.
Yeah, and just copied, exactly. So, and you don't want to spend too much time of your creative energy or your life, you know, putting a bunch of energy into a project that at some point somebody goes, well, actually, in fact, you don't own that and you have to stop. So that was, you know, rule number one. And really sort of the only rule.
The only rule. Listen, do you think that there is a different approach to be done if you adapt for TV or for cinema?
Sure. Yeah, two very different formats. Depends on if you're telling one story in the period of 1.5 hours, or if you are telling it over a period of, you know, some of these classic, they've done War and Peace, and, you know, if it's 4 hours or 10 hours, and it depends how much information that you can fit
in
there.
You can manage in the time that you have.
Yeah. So the big project that I worked on for Swedish television was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and the Millennium series. So there it was written, in fact, the three books were written as 2 times 90 for TV, so 6 times 90 for the three books. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up being three feature films of different lengths. So the writing for the 6-part series was very different from there was a lot more, you know, story in there. Or so it depends on your format.
And do you think that in this era of Netflix and Amazon Prime, where the amount of money put in to production is huge, so that the quality is not anymore TV quality, it's like feature film quality, but on TV. Mm-hmm. Does this make some changes also in your work? Not your specific, but the people who does the job of the adapting. You have to raise the bar a little bit, because TV is as good, if not sometimes even better than movies?
I don't know. I'm not sure you raised the bar. I think it's just that maybe you can realize your ambitions in another way. You know, maybe it's possible to do things that was not possible before. And that the budgets look different. But good storytelling is not only budget-based, of course. It's craft-based more than budget. You know, you can add CGI dinosaurs and it's still a crappy story, potentially.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And you
yes.
can do very small stories and they're riveting. So, so I don't know. Yeah, I think... But maybe it lets people have another scope, maybe, to the story that they tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you to Eva Wenceslas-Vard, Amandjula Cherbi from Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.